joining us on KBR 680 from ESPN, a real friend of the show. Always nice to have him on, Howard Bryan. Howard, what is the lure of spring training? You've been down here a number of times.
Well, the lure of Arizona spring training is to not be in Florida. I think that the best thing about coming down here for me is that the teams are all in such proximity that you can really cover a lot of ground in a short period of time, unlike Florida where you've got 4 or 5 hour trips in between. I came down here for 10 days, and it's the time of year. It's not just the romantic hope springing eternal and all of that, but the guys are getting ready for the game. They're getting ready for the season. They don't have their game faces on yet, and so it's a much more relaxed environment. And it's very special to baseball. I think that you don't have that in the other sports. You don't have that sort of that 45-day period where everybody is in the same spot. And if you are a reporter, if you do what I do, this is the perfect time to actually learn about what's happening in the game and to find out what's going on. And it's a lot of the things that are going to carry on for the rest of the season.
Well, Howard Bryant joins us of ESPN. The fans, you look at the faces of people. We know what the players are going through, but you look at the faces of the fans. I think it's almost like a New Year's Eve.
Well, I think what's really interesting about it is how things have changed. And you go back into the late 50s when the Giants were here in Scottsdale, or even in Florida in as late as the 80s and the early 90s, where this was a place where players got ready for the season. They got in shape during spring training. Now you come here, you're supposed to be in shape already, or you're going to get ridiculed, you're going to get killed by your team. But the other thing is, the biggest change with spring training is that this is a revenue generator now. Before, this was a place where you could come if you were a fan and maybe you couldn't afford the regular season tickets. This is a place where there's not that much gap between regular season and spring training prices, even though your favorite players may only be playing 2 or 3 innings.
So this feeds right into the legacy of the great Bud Selig. More money.
More money. Well, and that's it. I think that when you're looking at revenue streams, and that's what everything has been post-strike, whether it's local TV revenue, whether it's international revenues, whether it's spring training revenues, everything is you're trying to maximize your dollars, because the game is so expensive and the salaries are so high and the operating costs are so high. And so it's with teams like the Giants and the Cubs and the Red Sox and the Yankees, and now the Dodgers being out here, this is a gold mine for them. And a lot of teams really view this as an opportunity to make a fair amount.
Boy, nice to see Howard Bryan, as always, at the ballpark, Scottsdale, Arizona. You can follow Howard at ESPN, sports reporters as well, as I always DVR it every Sunday morning when you're on. I like to see when you're on there. But in town this week, a very interesting coincidence, the Sabermetric Convention. All the analysts are here this week. And everyone, all the big people are here. It's going on here in Phoenix, and it's interesting to think how the Sabermetrics have changed the game and changed the front office of a game and even the relationship with managers.
Sure. Well, it goes back. You can thank your old guys, the Oakland A's, for that. Sandy Alderson, who a long time ago had begun to diminish the role of the manager. That Sandy was revolutionary before Billy Beane in terms of changing the structure. I remember he told me once, why is it that only in baseball, in 150 years of playing this game, that when you change managers, which is essentially a mid-level position, the entire organization changes philosophies? Why do we do that in this sport? So what they began to do was to take a much more top-down approach when they hired Art Howe. I remember Sandy telling me that he told Art, we're not hiring you for your philosophy. We're hiring you to see if you fit ours. And it's been that way for the last 20 years. And when you think about this year at the Hall of Fame in July, you've got Joe Torre, Bobby Cox, and Tony La Russa, three of the last guys who are really the face of the franchise as managers. Now Jimmy Leland retired as well. That old guy, that Billy Martin, that Casey Stengel, that Joe Torre, that is gone now. And now you have guys who are much more game managers. They're more part of a total front office. It's a GM's game now. And you're not going to see that old school manager where the manager, maybe Mike Socha might be the last one, where the manager is actually the face of the front office. That's yesterday's baseball.
Yeah, is that why Robin Ventura, Brad Ausmus, Matt Williams go right from playing roughly into being a manager?
Sure. Well, it's a different game now. And once again, if you look at who is the visibility of the game, it's not just the fact that dynamic between manager and general manager has changed. It's also the fact that the fans, I was writing writing in a story about the Dodgers the other day is that the fans now view themselves as if it's not the wow and wonder of baseball. It's almost like they're in the accounting office. They're talking about value, overvalued and undervalued and metrics, and they're looking at it as if they're spending their own money, and they're not really viewing the game in terms of that wonder of the athleticism. I remember Joe Torre, you always tried to remind us that there's still a beating heart in this game despite the statistics. I think that's the reason why I still gravitate toward it. I'm less enamored with the entire statistical revolution, but I understand its importance.
Boy, Howard Bryan, of course, with us. Have you seen any teams down here that you're very impressed with? I know you've been all around. You did refer to the Dodgers, and they're going to open up the 22nd against Arizona in Sydney, Australia.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that you're looking at a team that's got $216 million payroll, and they are fighting real hard to maintain what they did last year. It's a very interesting thing that the Dodgers came to Los Angeles to essentially become the West Coast Yankees and haven't been to the World Series since 1988, and that every team in the National League West has been to the World Series since the Dodgers have been there. And that's an amazing thing for a team with their market and their revenue and their resources. Yeah. And Ned Colletti, the GM, was telling me the other day that, hey, we are spending as high as we're spending right now because we can't let this opportunity slip. We have to become relevant again. We've got the resources. We're an iconic franchise. We're supposed to be dominant, and we're going to do what it takes to get there. And I remember thinking to myself, well, I like that, and all we need now is the Giants to come back and to have a nice Dodgers-Giants rivalry, because it's shifted. It's almost like New York and Boston, where the Giants were it was a hammer-nail relationship, and now one of them's got two titles in the last 4 years, and the other one hasn't been there in a quarter century.
Well, Howard Bryan with us. Always great to talk baseball with you. Boston, New York, are they back? The Yankees back? I know there's been such a change. Red Sox win the World Series. How do you see those two teams?
Well, when you've got their kind of revenues, they're not going anywhere, and I think that the Yankees are going to be a good team. Billy Bean was talking the other day laughing about how, yeah, they're going to try to slip Tanaka in there as a third starter. They've got players, and you've got CeCe Sabathia lost a lot of weight. He's going to be back in the top of that rotation. Mark Teixeira is back. You've got Derek Jeter in his final season. You wonder if he'll get through the whole year, but it's going to be a magical year for him to say goodbye to the iconic player of that franchise for the last 20 years. It's going to be fun. I think that it's always good. I don't care what anybody says about parity. I'm not a big salary cap revenue share mini playoff guy. I want dominant teams. I want signature franchises, because that's what the fans recognize. I want Dodgers, Giants, Cardinals, Yankees, Red Sox, and they rise. The rising tide raises all boats. So I think it's we had overkill before when it was too many Red Sox Yankee games, but I think it's great that both of those teams are going to be really good, and to see some of the other teams like Oakland coming in try to take them down. Let's not forget, you talk about who's impressive. The Oakland A's are back-to-back defending division champions, and I don't see them slipping up this year either. It's their division to lose.
Wow. Howard wrote a great book, a biography of Hank Aaron. If it's still out, take a look at it. Last thought for you, Barry Bonds. You've been around this week, and Barry Bonds is back. He's an instructor, as charming as ever.
Well, I think that it's a great opportunity for Barry. There's a question that we had all been asking. I know I've been asking it a lot, which was, you've got Mark McGwire, who's been allowed the golden ticket back into the game. You've got Matt Williams, who was in the Mitchell report. He's managing. Jason Giambi, who has obviously had his grand jury trouble. He is with the Indians, and he interviewed for the Rockies managerial job last year. Roger Clemens is working with the Astros. Where's Barry Bonds? Yeah. When was that thaw going to take place? And it took place on Monday, and so he's back in the fold. It's going to be interesting to see how much he wants or what he wants. But the interesting thing to me about Bonds is that for the first time since he's put on a uniform when he was probably about 5 years old, Barry's primary skills can't help him. And those primary skills were his athletic ability. Now he's going to be 50 years old in July, and the other skills, the people skills, the communication skills, those are going to be the things that keep him around and keep him close. And I think it was fantastic to see the response that he got. He's an incredibly knowledgeable player. He's got a lot to offer the game. I think the real question is going to be whether he wants to let that wall come down a little bit. He mentioned it Monday that he doesn't have to have the game face on anymore because there's no game. So I think it's going to be nice to see if Barry lets people know him, he's a remarkable person. If he doesn't, then you're going to have a lot more of the contentiousness that you had in the past. But I think it's a magnificent opportunity for both sides to really have the signature player of his era be part of baseball again.
Does he become a Hall of Famer in the near future?
No, he doesn't. I mean, his numbers are just not high enough at, 36-37%. I think all of those guys, I didn't vote for him. I'm having trouble voting for him. I haven't voted for him, and I didn't vote for any of the guys implicated with PEDs. However, I do have to say that I think my feelings are changing simply from a balance standpoint. You and I have talked about this in the past, that if Tony La Russa and Bobby Cox and Joe Torre are going to be inducted into the Hall this summer, they won a lot of games off guys who were using. And Tony La Russa especially promoted a lie for a long time, and he's going to be celebrated, and the players are not. So it comes back down to owners versus players. And when you look at it right now, the players are the only ones taking the fall, and I don't think that's particularly fair.
Great insight. Howard, always beautiful to talk with you. We'll see you down the road, and I love having you on, so thanks so much.
You will. Thank you, Marty.
All right. More coming up on KMBR 680, the sports leader.